Good morning and welcome to another interview discussion with John Gilroy, parliamentary candidate for Cork North Central constituency for the Irish Labour Party. And I'm sitting here in Cafe Beva with John, who's got a cup of tea in front of him. John, have you been absorbing the newspapers today? I see that the Irish Examiner has a huge spread on Cork North Central constituency, which is headlining that Sinn Féin are set to take a seat, and are also headlining that Billy Kelleher, the outgoing Fine Gael minister, is fighting desperately to hold his seat against you. How do you read the latest situation in the polls?
Morning, Paul. We're absorbing it all right, but this opinion poll is a bit more favourable to me than the last one. But we didn't pass much heat on the last one, Paul, because it didn't suit us. I don't think we can pass too much heat on this one because it does. The truth lies somewhere in between. Although I must say, when we're talking about Billy Kelleher and Jonathan O'Brien and the Examiner is talking about them, it does seem to reflect what we're picking up on the ground, Paul. Jonathan O'Brien, I know Jonathan well, personally. He's a nice fella, I know him well. Politically, I wouldn't agree with a lot of his policies, but personally, he's a very nice fella, no question. With regard to Billy, we're just not picking up where the Fianna Fáil vote is. There's pockets of it, correct, there is. And people on the doorstep are generally polite to you and maybe are not admitting that they're going to vote Fianna Fáil. Undoubtedly, a large number of people are. But it's completely different from the last election in 07, where people were proudly exclaiming their support for Fianna Fáil. There's nobody doing that now. So whatever we make of the figures in the newspapers, I'm inclined to ignore them, Paul, and deal with what we're hearing on the ground. And what we're hearing on the ground is that Kathleen Lynch is certainly going to top the poll. I think we need a better vote management strategy between myself and herself.
So yeah, you're hoping that Kathleen Lynch's extra votes are going to come across to you, aren't you? And are you getting together with Kathleen Lynch and having a discussion about how you're going to do your best to encourage her strong supporters to give you their vote?
What you're saying isn't quite correct, Paul. Kathleen is going to be elected, no question. She's going to top the poll. She's not going to have any surplus because she's not going to make the quota on the first count. So Kathleen will have no transfers for me. A number one for Kathleen and a number two for me is no good to me.
Right, I'm with you. Right. So you're looking to get your votes then from transfers from people from other parties.
Well, what we're talking to Kathleen about, and we're talking closely, and Kathleen's a smashing candidate, fantastic now, is that if Kathleen can pull back her vote by 2% and me bring my vote up by 2%, Paul, we'll take a seat. We'll take the two seats. If it would be ironic if with 33% of the vote we didn't manage to take two seats. It would be a reflection on ourselves and a poor vote management strategy.
Have Labour ever had anything like 33% of the vote in Cork North Central constituency before?
No, Paul, I can't find any record of that. In the last election, 07, Labour came in with 11.7% of the vote, of the first preference vote. So we've tripled our vote here. In the period of 5 years, you would say, good God, when you put it starkly like that, can that be true? Feeling on the ground, it is true, Paul. We've worked very hard. Kathleen's an excellent candidate. The swing is with us. I've worked very hard. I'm a councillor for 7 years, and I've had 2 years trying to become a councillor before that. So I've 9 years' work put into the constituency as well. That has to be a dividend, Paul, where we work hard, we do this stuff on the ground. The local issues are important. The national issues are equally important. But as a councillor, it's local issues is what councillors do.
Well, let me get you to some nitty-gritty issues now. I mean, I don't know whether to believe this Irish Independent poll or not, or Irish Examiner poll or not, but if it's true that Billy Kelleher is fighting hard to retain his seat, and you are the one who is the greatest threat to him, do you have now in the last 6 or 7 days of campaigning a particular way of approaching people so as to wean them away from voting for Billy Kelleher and pull them across to you?
No, Paul, I don't, because the electorate is more sophisticated than that. For me to come late to the race with 5-6 canvassing days left and say you should vote for me and not Billy, people are there more or less making up their minds. They're clever enough not to fall for any ruse or trick by me. I won't be going that. I'll be standing on my record, Paul, and let Billy stand on his. for delivery of services to the local issue, and what we've done at a national issue as well, a national level as well. I was chairman of the Labour Party Councillors Association until a few months ago. I stepped down, Paul, because I like to do things 100%, and I thought it'd be inconsistent for me to remain on as chairman of such an important organisation and then try to run a campaign as well. Couldn't do both. I'm also the author of the Arts, Sports and Recreation Policy of the Labour Party, which has been adopted and launched last week in Dublin with Johnny Giles and Eamon Gilmore. So my national ability is proven, and my local ability is proven as well. We need to ask Billy at a national level, as a junior minister, it's an important position, how did he utilise that position for the good of the country, for the good of his constituency? We have to ask that question. I'm not going to answer it. That needs to be asked only. And then Billy is an Oireachtas member for 20 years, Paul. From 92 to 97, Billy was a centre. And from 97 to 2006, he was a TD. And from 2006 to the present, he was a junior minister. So we do have to ask Billy. My record stands for itself. What does his do?
So what are your team going to be doing then today? Now, you're gathered here in the cafe. I see your main canvassers with you here. You're going out, and it's another day in the life of... But things are getting down to the wire now. I mean, what are you planning for the next few days?
Well, there's certain pockets of areas that we need to go to that we haven't been to before. You could say, why haven't you canvassed these areas before? Well, the window of canvassing is very short, Paul, in the regard that until the election is called, the electorate aren't thinking politics at all. Us political nerds are thinking politics 100% of the time. But ordinary, normal people, Paul, think about politics when there's elections on. So before an election is called, there's very little point in going canvassing, because people are saying, oh, what's this about? Who are you? What are you doing? The minute the election is called, it focuses the electorate's mind. So because there's only a three-week window in a campaign, you have to try and cover as much ground as you can. That's impossible in a constituency like Cork North Central. It's geographically disparate, Paul, and there's no way you'll get to every area. But we target certain areas. We analyse the figures from the constituency. We concentrate our efforts in certain areas. We work hard. We send a message out. We let people know, for instance, in Knocknaheeny in Gronabrohar, that's the far side of the city from where my local council area is, so I would expect that people in those areas wouldn't know me at all, right? But it is important that I would let people in that area know what kind of politician I am and what kind of potential politician I might be. My work rate, I think, is beyond dispute, Paul. Look, I mean, there's not enough hours in the day to do what I want to do.
And are you stuck at the moment now in between having to make decisions to go to places you haven't been before and go back to places where you have been?
We will manage both, Paul.
You'll do both?
We will manage both, yeah. I mean, the theory is that you leave your core area to last. All of the canvassers have come into all areas.
Leave your core area to last, right? These are the areas where you are most confident of getting votes.
Yeah, where you'd be best known, Paul, whatever about confidence of getting votes. Does that translate? We certainly hope it does. What you do is you start off the campaign in your heartland, in your core area. You work out of that as far and as fast and as hard as you can. And then in the last couple of days before the election, you come back into your core area, because other canvassing teams of your opponents have been in the area. They've been damaging you, no doubt. They've been criticising and bad-mouthing me, Paul. I certainly hoped you wouldn't do that, but you know yourself, that's part and parcel of a certain type of...
Well, at least they wouldn't be ignoring you. If they're bad-mouthing you and having a go at you, is that surely not better than completely not even mentioning you?
Well, you're right there. There's no such thing as bad publicity, I suppose. There's another tactic that you'd use on the canvas, Paul, and it's a universal, that we'd never mention your opponents by name. And politicians who do mention you by name are being a bit naive, because mere mention of your name is sparking something in the mind or memory of the voter. So, I mean, there are small little things that you learn with practice, Paul, and you go along.
So you talk about things like the candidates from Fine Gael as opposed to the names of the people.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. I mean, that's fairly obvious, I would think.
Okay.
But... When other parties are running two or three candidates, that's fine. You can say that you're not promoting anybody. But the mere mention of a name can trigger in the mind of a voter saying, "God, yeah, geez, you're right there now. That guy is good or bad or indifferent." So why would you do it? when you don't need to do it. I mean, this comes with practice. Well, I said it's my seventh or eighth campaign to be involved in, either as a candidate, three as a candidate, and four as director of elections in a couple, significantly involved in other campaigns. So, you know, when you're around elections, Paul, as long as myself, these are things that you learn almost by osmosis.
Look, yesterday I heard a really interesting little snippet on George Hook's radio programme on News Talk, right? He had Ivan Yates on there talking, and he had Ivan Yates describing how he went about canvassing and campaigning down in Enniscorthy. And I just want to ask you about this aspect of it. Ivan Yates said that he used to go into pubs and buy a drink for everybody in the pub. Right, and he'd leave drinks behind the bar for everybody, and he said that was absolutely essential thing to do. Right? Do you go in for that kind of stuff?
God, Paul, that's just awful, isn't it? That's just terrible.
That's what he said. That's what he said. That's the way.
I thought that died in the 1950s. That sort of communism, Paul. I'm exasperated that someone as sophisticated as Ivan Yates would say that. I'm sure Ivan Yates is saying that tongue in cheek, because this is what the expectancy of politicians is, to be all things to everyone. And if I can persuade someone to vote for me because I buy them a pint, by God, Paul, I don't know. I'm just exasperated. I don't know what to
say
about it.
That is not your style anyway.
That is the absolute opposite to everything I believe in. God's sake, if you feel you are required to buy pints for people, for them to vote for you, clearly there's no other reason they should vote for you. Only buying pints. Surely you should have work done. Surely you should be significant enough and have policies and a record that you can stand over, that whether you bought the pint or not, you're going to get the vote. Or not.
Okay. It just stood out in my mind when I was listening to it on the radio. So look, any last comments then on today's newspaper?
No, I mean, like we were saying with our candidates again, Paul, remember our audio boo? I was saying I was feeling a bit deflated after last Monday's 10% in the Irish Times, and now I'm at 14% in the Examiner, so of course I'm buoyed up. We're saying let's not react to it, let's not panic on it, let's not praise ourselves, let's just carry on. Our plan is robust. We've devised a plan last summer, we're sticking to it, it seems to be working, we hope it is. If I'm not elected, it's because the plan hasn't worked.
Okay, one last question, and this is about the connection between the national leaders and a local candidate. Is if Eamon Gilmore or any other of the front bench on the Labour side could do something over the next couple of days that would actually rebound favourably on your campaign, what would it be?
Be for Eamon Gilmore to bring Obama down to Cork North Central and not come door to door with me. That'd be great.
Okay. John Gilroy, thank you very much. I think that's about the best I'm going to get out of you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
I just put up a tweet of the two of you doing the audio, so we'll have a look at it in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good.